Hi everyone, this is Chad. I just wanted to read through some dates because for the first time in a long time, I'm going to work in the summer. Please, for the love of Christ, don't make me regret it. I'm going to be in Las Vegas June 9th at Wise Guys. It's a new club. There's just two shows. It's one night. People always go, "How come you don't come to, how come you never do Vegas?" It's like, then I do Vegas, no one fucking comes. So how about you can fulfill your end of the agreement. Salt Lake City, Utah, Wise Guys, downtown, June 10th and 11th. I'm going to be with Amber Prescott Preston on both of those dates. Dallas, I'm coming back to the Addison Improv after I had to ditch you guys, July 22nd and 23rd. Omaha, Nebraska, July 28th at the Funny Bone. Kansas City, Missouri, but you can come over from Kansas. Doesn't matter to me. July 29th and 30th at the Kansas City Improv. Levity Live in Oxnard, California, August 4th. Brea, California, August 5th and 6th. And then I'm taking the rest of the summer off. I'll be in Arlington, Virginia in September, Boise, Idaho, Tempe, Denver in October. Tempe's in October too. Philadelphia. Then I go to November, Birmingham, Huntsville, Nashville, New York City. Get a rope. Pittsburgh, Cleveland. December, I'll be in Madison, Wisconsin, Austin, Texas, and then I'm taking a whole bunch of time off. So if you want to see a show, come do it now because I'm getting old, motherfuckers.
Philadelphia, Atlanta, LA. What's that song?
Steve Miller
Yeah,
Band.
there we go. Are any of those within 2 hours of where I'm at?
Nope.
Well, then fuck you.
Thank you.
If you like this show and you want some bonus things, there's a great pre-show ramble up. There's another thing from Faka Bear. The Faka Bear came up with every time Chad has used his sigh voice on the show, which was hard for both Chad and I to listen to, but is arguably one of the funniest things in the world. The whole point is this week, later this week, will be the release of our first official bonus episode on the Patreon. So get signed up. Patreon.com /MOS podcast.
Hey everybody, I'm super grumpy today. I hope you like the show.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, thanks for coming back. Welcome back. You may notice a little pep in my voice today, and that's because I think I'm going to have to hold it down with a positive attitude today because my partner across from me, he's a little grumpy pants, isn't he? Everyone, it's Cyrus Amundsen.
Can't find my headphones, my dog won't start barking, and I want to punt every person I meet into the sun. Hi, Chad.
Hey, your dog did start barking. I understand that your head's a little spinning right now. Your dog won't stop barking, and I think it's great, and I think you should put him in with the mold where you just pulled out your headphones from. I think that would be a good
Yeah,
idea. Also, it
I'm
does
psyched to put
seem.
the mold holsters into some of my head holes.
Well, I mean, just remember where you put your charging bay for your. For your wireless headphones. But first of all, it does appear that you and I have been Freaky Friday'd, where my crabby pants are in your body and you're normal. Hold on. I feel like, hold on, everybody. I like country music.
Hello.
I think we've been Freaky Friday'd. All of a sudden, I feel like Beer Never Broke My Heart slaps.
It does slap.
Fuck you. It's the first time you've smiled
Thank
today.
you.
Good
I'm
for you.
back.
I gotta tell
Ice-cold
you,
beer never broken my
get the
heart.
fuck out of here. So let me tell you something. Yesterday, I am driving at 75 miles an hour on the interstate because there are cops everywhere. So I put my cruise 75.
Okay.
I
Is that the
have
speed limit? Are you on 94 there?
It's 70,
Okay.
but I go 75 because I feel like no one's going to take the time to go to court for 5 miles per hour over. That's my thought process.
Okay, sure.
But there are cops like under every bridge. It was really crazy. And so I have some iced coffee that I didn't want to finish. I got my tattoo finished yesterday.
Oh,
So
interesting.
I've had a half sleeve on my right arm for a long time. And then about a month ago, actually 3 weeks ago, that's important to know that, I did the rest of my right arm down to my wrist. And I went back yesterday to get some more shading and color, or not coloring, but I guess just shading done, more detail. And he looked at my arm and he rubbed my arm with his thumb and he said, "You're still scabbing, so this is gonna hurt
Oof.
like a tattoo has never hurt." And I said, "Well, how bad could it be?" And he goes, "Dude, I'm telling you, if you don't want to do it today, I'll make room and you can come back when it's healed." And I go, "Let's just do it." And then
Okay.
it felt like I held my arm over a bonfire for 2.5 hours. And he kept branding me and branding me. And I just kept thinking, "Father, what have I done to you?" It fucking hurt. A tattoo's never hurt, really, me. I mean, I'm not saying like I'm t I think it's where I get them.
Okay.
But my God, did that fucking hurt yesterday. I mean, my jaw is sore from clenching. My calves are sore from flexing
Okay.
because he just, it was pretty miserable. So anyways, I'm on my way home and I have some iced coffee that I didn't finish, but I want to eat some sunflower seeds and I need a place to spit the shells. So I'm going to throw my sunflower seeds out the window. But I do know if you pour it out, here's what I've learned. If you pour it out your side, it comes back into the car somehow. But if you really flick your wrist and send it out the passenger side window, nothing.
Ooh, now that is a risky move because not only do you have the distance between your arm and the passenger side window, there's a lot of little sunflower. That's a risky move. That's a good way to have saliva slathered seeds all over
Oh,
your
no.
car.
No, I'm throwing out the iced coffee so I have a place to spit my sunflower seeds. Yep.
Oh,
Yep. So it's
okay. So
just iced coffee. I
liquid,
just
got
iced
it.
coffee. And it's in one
Okay.
of those Yeti things. So there's a little bit of ice left. And I roll the window down and I fucking fling it and then realize I have rolled down the back passenger window and I flung coffee and ice against a closed passenger window and it went everywhere in my car. Yeah, I threw it and I go, "That made it for sure." And then I was like, I saw some stuff dry. I go, "What the fuck happened?" And then I realized I look back and my back passenger window's open and the other one just closed completely. Yeah, talk about your all-time backfires.
Well,
Sucks.
can I, you said Yeti, so can I give you an all-time backfire?
Absolutely.
The company, so I have a mold problem allegedly, and
Allegedly, yeah.
the company, the one of the companies that's helping deal with it, they're amazing. Their name is Yeti. And the guy who runs it is like really great and has a great sense of humor, and I know that because he showed up at my house. Our last week's episode aired on Monday, and I told a story
Okay.
about the gas person being at our house.
With the
And
brush.
yeah, and he showed up Monday to inspect something in my house, and then I looked down and he was just holding while talking to me a fucking hairbrush. And it was, and he didn't mention it. He didn't walk in and go, "I brought my hairbrush." He was just walking around with a hairbrush until I noticed. And
Yeah, the slow burn.
it was so incredibly funny. Side note, I got a message.
I got an Instagram message from a guy who was a gas man
Okay.
and responding to that story. And he said, "You following someone around with a hairbrush wouldn't even be in my top 10 of insane shit that I've seen." He said, somebody he worked with last year got a call, went out to a house. He went downstairs into the basement, and there was just a dude like chained up with clamps on his nipples, asking the guy, the gas person, if they wanted a blowjob.
Oh.
Yeah. So he thought he's like, it's like a full-on trap. So the thing we joked about, where they probably think I'm a fucking psycho, that's a real, that really happened to this person. None
Yikes.
of this is the point.
Well, the point is that the guy with the clamps on his nipples started with a hairbrush in his hand.
Correct.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he was like, "Well, they let me do the hairbrush thing. What happens if they show up and I'm not wearing a shirt?" And then, oh my gosh, they didn't say anything about the shirt. What if I try to blow this guy with steel snapped to my nip nips? So this company, the point is, this company's great. They've been dealing with my alleged mold problem.
Yeah.
And So how it works is they will start unloading boxes, and then I will come out to the garage every so often, and I have to make decisions.
That's never good.
No, it's never a good thing. And I come out. And so Jenna, because she's the muscle, she packed all our shit.
Okay.
She did a pretty good job, but she also did this thing where as she was getting to the end of the packing, she was like, fuck it. So she was just throwing stuff. So all our dishes will be in one box. And then there will also be the remote for the fireplace insert in that box. So there's a little like, let's put stuff here. And they're opening boxes and they open a box and like the box tips and a couple things fall out. And I know, you know, so it rolls. Here's the thing. My sex toy falls out. I own a sex toy. And the sex toy falls out, and like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, it like falls out and rolls into the center of the floor in almost a comical way.
I thought so when you said my box tips, I thought you meant it tipped over, but you were talking about what was in the box. Interesting. So I kind of want to break down the fourth wall here. We've stopped the show a couple times because your mic gave out, your ear pods gave out, and your dog was barking and you had to bring him upstairs. And you're on the verge of snapping, but there's no one there to kill. So this is very fun for me. I really want to keep poking you to see if I can get you canceled, to say something really, really intense.
I, in the middle of Moldageddon, to have...
Allegedly.
Alleged to have nothing working.
I haven't seen you this unraveled in a year. And so this is fun for me because it's not health related unraveling.
Yeah.
This is just, you're just going straight crazy like I go crazy. And so it's fun for me to watch. I'm sorry that misery loves company. But this has been great so far for me.
I feel so bad for whoever in my like. There's little things like there's two sidewalks. Why walk your dog on the other side of the sidewalk? This sidewalk is so close to my house. Your dog doesn't need to be in my garden. So whoever does that today with all this shit I have stumbling and bumbling inside of me, I'm gonna to stay in the basement all day because I'm so the sex toy falls out of the box. Uh-huh. So let's go back to there.
Yes, please, let's.
The sex toy falls out of the box and rolls into the center of the floor. There are three other people besides me in the garage. And there's a moment where I think everybody's about to go, what's that? And so I immediately go, hey, can you claim a sex toy? I'm not going to pretend that this isn't what it is. I let it rip. And to their credit, all professionals, everyone's like, yeah, you can claim a sex toy. And I'm like, cool. And so I pick it up and I go throw it away. And
you threw it away?
Bro, I'm not putting a moldy. So here's the thing I'm learning about mold is that once something has been, because the mold exposure that I'm dealing with is of no small variety.
Sure.
Allegedly. And it was more that a bunch of stuff was in the place where the mold was. And now the little teeny bits of mold you can hardly see that'll grow into more mold, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It's super
mold. So mold doesn't come from nowhere. Yes. There has to be a spore of mold that you can't see with your human
eye. Correctamundo.
But it will grow in, if left untreated, will grow into more mold that can create spores and blah, blah, blah. But you get it. It's like COVID, but mold.
Correctamundo. So then, I mean, so it came and went pretty easy, and they were all professional enough not to, because I realized after I said it doesn't really look like a sex toy. And it almost looks like a really like clunky athletic watch. Like, hey, is that what you use to time your laps? It's
Wait a minute. Your sex toy has like a like a band
so
on it?
Here's what it is. It looks like Batman's mask. So imagine that. It's like it's a
First of all, I'm not going to imagine it. You need to know that. And I'm a little disappointed when you picked up the sex toy, you didn't go, "Want to see how it works?" and you just threw it away. I understand.
So the sex toy, it looks almost like a black hood that wraps around the head of your fella. And it does look like Batman's putting his mask on. And
so here's a question. When Jenna's horny, does she put out the bat signal?
So I got it. So we could talk about, I'm very sex positive. Let's talk about it. We got ourselves some toys, and the idea is throughout the years, and the idea is you use them, you can use them alone, but you can use them together. But
right,
there is
course.
No world. We immediately realized there's no world we're using my toy together because
sure.
I can't not do the Batman voice when it goes on. It just goes on and I'm just going, "Where's the Joker? Where's the Joker? Where's Rachel?" Like I'm just doing Christian Bale as Batman and I can't stop.
This is going to be gross, so I'm sending out a warning. I can't remember what it's called, but
trigger warning.
Oh yeah, trigger warning. This is going to be gross, but it would be awesome if Jenna put lipstick down you know where for a sideways smile like the Joker. That'd be incredible.
Man, so many people are going to stop listening after this episode. She just dyes the hair green. Then she gets really into it. So her privates just blow up a hospital.
Or she shaves all her pubes and puts a mask on and goes, "Let the games begin."
So we haven't used it together because when I put the Batman mask onto my Bruce Wayne, it's not received super well because I can't take anything seriously, but it doesn't matter. It's gone now. It is in the abyss with many a possession.
And there's another one in the mail from Amazon Prime, right?
I mean, if I get reimbursed, yeah, absolutely. There'll be another one coming.
That's one of those things where I don't need to be reimbursed. If I lose something that brings me that much joy and gets me to do a Batman impersonation while I'm having fun, I don't know. I think I probably have, you know, when Batman goes into like the door moves, whatever, when he moves the book mm-hmm. and all of a sudden the wall turns and he's got 15 Batman masks.
Yes.
That's I'm surprised you don't have some backups.
The moment that goes away, I go upstairs and I just put another one on. Where's Alfred? Where's Alfred?
I mean, knowing how you are with AirPods,
sure.
It makes sense to me that you don't have any backups.
Yeah, that's the same. We use sex toys the same way you and I do this podcast, where we're just an hour and a half in and we're on sex toy number four. And I'm just saying, I'm so sorry. I swear I put new batteries in it.
I just love that the only rule I really know about your house is you can only bring four batteries in at once.
Well, you know, you gotta have rules. Otherwise, Gotham City runs amok.
You know what I think should be a rule? Here's something. And we didn't even plan this, but here's something that's been bugging me more than anything.
Is this a great unplanned segue?
This is a great unplanned segue to something that makes me... It's like, comedians. I know it's a funny bit, but... My kids brought their homework home and they're in second grade and I couldn't even help them with their math. Fuck off.
Is that a funny?
What do you mean you can't help a second grader with their math? How are you allowed to have children? How have Child Protective Services not been called? You can't do addition and subtraction and you're a grown-up?
Is that a...
Get the fuck out of here.
That's the thing you've heard comedians say? That's the thing that I've heard. You get to that age where your friends have kids and they don't have anything interesting to say anymore. That is one of the things they say, like, "Oh, I tried to help Timmy with his homework and whoa, I'm lucky I'm not in school." Yeah, it's been like 40 years. You forgot that shit, man. What are you talking about?
Right, but you could recall it if you need to or relearn it. It's not difficult stuff. It's like we've become so dumb is cool.
Oh, I hate it.
It's too much. Like Olivia went to this she went to this senior night where they get awards and everything, and it was pretty cool. Other than it took 2 hours because The podium, did I talk about this?
I don't think so, but who cares?
The podium was on one side of the stage, and then all the kids were on the other side of the stage. So every time they called a name, these kids would have to fucking saunter across a 60-foot stage to get their award. And then once they got the award, they'd call the next name. I'm telling you, if you watch this video, it took 2 hours. If you cut out the walking, it would have been 35 minutes.
Oof.
And they had one award where it was like, what do you call it when you play all the sports? Like a three sport athlete.
Three sport athlete.
Yeah, so they have an award for three sport athlete, and it's taking forever. And it's like, what fucking sports are you guys in? Hurry up. How are you not faster? Are you swimmers?
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have any land speed? Move your ass. Even wrestlers can fucking move around with their hands and feet like a monkey fucking flying through the forest. Hurry up. It's too much.
There's nothing worse than the pomp and circumstance of the last 2 weeks of a high school senior's life. Fuck it. The breakfasts and the award shows and the scholarship ceremonies and that you're like, so many things where like, I have to do all this and then sit through a 3 hour graduation. I can't, man. I know you love your kid and I'm so proud of you for doing it, but No way.
It was rough. The only person in that auditorium that had it worse than the parents that were watching were the three kids on the end of one of the aisles that had to keep getting up. They didn't get any awards, and they had to keep getting up for this kid, Alex, who is like homecoming king. He's the nicest kid in the world, smartest kid, homecoming king. How often do you hear this? In marching band, in pep band, he's a mathlete, and he's homecoming king. This dude, he's such a nice kid. He's not a cock about it.
I understand. I just to be clear before you move on, you made that sound like it's something special. Chad, in high school, I was kicked off the speech team, not allowed to ride school buses, and somebody nominated me for the homecoming court as a joke and then told me about it to my face. So there's a lot of us out there that are accomplishing a lot of things in high school. Yeah.
Well, I beg your pardon. I forgot about how you went through high school like a wrecking ball. I forgot.
Correct.
I'm sorry about that. But this Alex kid is like off the charts. And so this kid, he should have brought a fucking duffel bag for all of his shit.
Sure.
He kept walking up there and these three kids kept standing
up. Put him
up.
On the end,
so
man. Make him an end cap. End cap Alex.
Right, exactly. But here is my point about this whole senior thing is Olivia, one of the awards was the triple star, which means you have a 3.9 grade point average or above.
Okay.
Right? So she has a 3.98. She's had one A minus and the rest were A's.
Okay.
On her report card. And so they announce it and nobody with the last name starting with A, B, or C gets this award because they go, hey, we're doing the triple star, which is 3.9. We'll start with Olivia Daniels, and there is an audible gasp in the student section. Everyone's like, what the fuck? Because it's not cool to be smart. So she never told anyone about it.
Really?
This. And so she goes up there and there's murmuring. People are like, how did she do that? She's fun and goofy. And no one thought fun and goofy kids could
also be smart.
Could be smart, but that's what I'm saying about hiding intelligence. That's what we've done. And people walk around like, well, I don't even know if I could help my kid with their second grade homework. It's like, you could. I promise you, you could. And if you can't, give your kid up for adoption.
I hate it so much. We say a lot of these things to, you know, when somebody's like, you'll bring up the Kardashians who are a stain on the earth, but they come up in a conversation and another adult will go, I don't even know who that is. You're like, no, go fuck yourself. You know, don't play intentionally ignorant. I know that's a different part of this, but there's this, it's where we're at right now. Let me tell me if you think this is correct. It feels like right now there is a celebration of ignorance where people are so happy to be fucking stupid.
Yep.
There is a hiding of intelligence, if you have it.
Yep.
And then there is this big group of people who are so, I call it, Brooksy and I were talking about this last night, performative intellect. These people who
love to get in on a topic and show you how smart they are. And there might be whole podcasts about stuff like this. And I run into somebody, you know, who lives in downtown Minneapolis and is telling me all about fucking, you know, rifles and elk meat. And I'm like, where did you grow up? Have you been hunting? Like, and I don't hunt, but I do know my dad and brother have shot real elk. There's just this like performative, I know things about things. Let me show you. I don't know. I don't even know what sort of old man rant I'm on.
Oh,
if we want to keep having our show, we have to be careful not to let me talk about what I believe is the war on education and intelligence in our society, because I'll become real unlikable.
You fucked up by passing the torch to me just now, because one of my biggest pet peeves is this, is everyone has the answers because they're on the telephone.
Yes.
Right? Everyone has the answers, but no one knows why. It's the answer.
Yeah.
I raged against the show your work machine as a child.
Sure, sure.
I was like, I have the answer. Don't make me show my work. It's right fucking here. The answer's 15X. Don't make me show my work. I got the answer. But now, in a society where people can hold up their phone and go, there's the answer right here. And you're like, how come? You're like, I don't know. It's on my phone. Someone sent it to me. I want you to show your work, because I can't have you thinking you're smart because you have the answer when you don't know why it's the fucking answer.
Did you watch The Good Place?
Yes.
It's like if you have a Janet, you're not smart because you have a Janet. And that's what a phone is. It's a Janet. You're not
right.
You get in an argument with somebody about something really unimportant. Like, I had a conversation with somebody down here, and I don't know shit about shit when it comes to.
Oh, you sounded like Ruth from Ozark. I don't know shit about fuck.
Now listen to me. I don't know dick about twat, Chad. But I know when I first moved onto this lake, and I was talking to. Now there's some people on this lake who really know their shit about lakes.
Sure.
And there's some people who clearly have no functional understanding of how a lake, water, shoreline, any of that shit works. And it's this, but they'll talk about it like, here's your aunt. Again, what else do you want to talk about? Cause I'm already in a bad mood.
Oh, and I know. That's why I keep forcing you to do this.
And then the other side of it is that this fucking thing where I don't give a shit what your political side is. I don't give a shit where you come from. We've talked about this before, but if I'm saying a thing, like I go, hey man, let's use lakes as an example. Hey man, okay, the lake is muddy. And then you go, yeah, but the river is muddy. You're like, well, I don't fucking care, because the river doesn't flow into a lake. It's a different river. I'm not talking about the river, and I'm talking about the lake. And everybody in our society, we can't talk. I don't give a shit how small of a thing it is or how big it is. You can't make a point about something without someone else trying to reduce your point by making a comparative point about something else that, honestly, even though it's connected, doesn't have to be connected. Every conversation that you are in with anyone who's not one of your closest friends features comparative analysis that's fucking pointless. How about we talk about the muddy lake, and then when we're done that, let's talk about the muddy river. And there's valid points about both of them, but quit trying to fucking flow your river into my lake, bitch.
But don't you think that the muddy river could have something to do with the topography, that the reason the lake is muddy? Oh, shit. I have... Poking the bear is
now,
very
now,
fun.
Now, this maybe somebody owes us a couple $1,000s, and now they work for somebody I don't respect. Maybe that's another thing that's going on inside my brain. Maybe we are out a bunch of money because somebody allegedly has money that's ours, and then they went to work for one of these people who creates divisive arguments in society. So maybe I'm on a fucking thin string. You want to talk about the Joker? Jenna's gonna come home. I'm gonna be Batman Dick with a Joker face. I'm losing it.
Yeah, you are. And I gotta tell you, it's fun to watch you unravel.
The worst episode we've done in 5 years.
Yeah, listen. Not for me. For me, it's very entertaining because
no one's gonna
it's
like
fun
this.
To get to see the reflective side of myself. Now,
I'm
when
just
we
not
were talking
charming
about
when I do it. You're charming when you're upset.
Oh,
and
please.
I'm Travis Tritt riding Toby Keith's shoulder, spitting chaw onto the sidewalk. That's how little charm
I have
when I'm upset.
Please, please keep telling me more about how I'm charming. Do you remember the episode?
Okay.
Go ahead.
I wanted.
Do you remember the episode of Friends? I'm going to keep talking. Do you remember the episode of Friends where Joey can only afford one encyclopedia?
Yes.
And so he tries to get them to talk about other things that start with that letter?
Yep.
That's exactly what we're talking about, where people, when you're talking about like this performative intelligence, mm-hmm. But when they did it on Friends, goddamn, that's a funny episode. If you haven't seen it.
And let me tell you something. I am an insufferable know-it-all. But
yeah,
so you and I have known each other forever, and we're usually on the same page about a lot of stuff, but we talk about a lot of things. The house I was raised in was filled with lunatics. And everyone sure. in my home is a know-it-all. Greg is a top five. Greg is a know-it-all Hall of Famer. My sister Janine invented being a know-it-all. Like, my dad's a know-it-all. My mom's a know-it-all. And we all handle it different. It all comes out different. But when you have that many siblings and your parents are really smart, if you want to have an argument about something and you don't come correct, like, you're not ready to go, you get fucking humiliated, and then all of a sudden it's like five people talking about you and above you. Well, you just sit there and go, okay, I guess I was wrong about this one.
I didn't know Brian Regan was in your family. That was a surprise to me.
I don't know. What do you know about lakes and rivers?
Olivia right now is debating in school, so they're debating taxes, and they're debating they're going to debate abortion, and they're going to debate all this stuff, and she comes home and she goes, oh my god, everyone thinks I'm mean, but I'm just debating. No one in my school knows how to debate because they must not debate at home. And she goes, I can't believe families get along so well that they make each other horrible debaters. Because that's all we do is argue about shit in a nice way. But I also want to tell you...
Before you tell me that, I have to say something out loud or I'll forget it. A lot of messages have come in about why we don't have the shark abortion shirts out. And let me tell you why. Because the moment after we came up with that idea, it reared its head as the most forward-facing, divisive topic on the planet Earth. And Chad and I were like, maybe our little shark abortion bit should... take a hiatus while everybody's so angry.
Yeah, that's true. That was perfect timing. I would like to remind you that if your mom and dad are know-it-alls, then your sister Janine couldn't have invented being a know-it-all because it already was happening with your mom and dad.
Well, different,
I hate to be a know-it-all. Different
dads, and I don't need you to be. The point is, I want to change topics. Let me tell you about what happened yesterday. So my Uncle Craig is down here with my dad.
Okay.
And he's in this thing called, this big thing. It's called the Great Race. I believe that's what it's called. I'll have to, Justin, look it up. It's called the Great Race. It's a car race. It's been happening forever and ever and ever. It's from the East Coast. This year it's going from the East Coast to Fargo. And it's for cars. It has to be 1975 or older.
Okay.
And... it's you and a navigator. So one person drives, the other person navigates. No GPSs, no maps. You get this packet, and it's not about the first person to finish. They give you all these instructions, and they decide a time. So there's like sections. You drive, it's like the Tour de France.
Okay.
You drive a distance each day, and they pre-decide, we think it should take blankety blank amount of time for you to drive from here to here, but they don't tell you that time. They just give you this just packet of information with directions, and you calibrate how long it takes your car to speed up and slow down. And there's a whole bunch of math involved. So there's a driver and a navigator, and they go across the country, and it looks really cool. It's something that I think you and I could do if we wanted to end our friendship.
Yeah, if this episode doesn't do it, let's try the race.
Let's do the race. And so the point is that has nothing to do with anything. He's down here and he and my dad are out on my deck, and I'm working. So I'm working on a new selfish plug, a new project that will probably never get off the ground. But it's
good attitude.
Thank
good
you.
Positive attitude.
It's like a sports time suck for our listeners. They'll know what that means.
Sure.
And I'm doing it with our friend Blake Wexler. And so the guy who did all those cool audio tracks that are on our Patreon, we talked about him. We thought his name was Matthew Faka.
Yeah.
I talked to him. His name is Matthew Faka. Faka, not Faka, and I let him know
Faka.
It'll never be okay. Faka to us. You're the Faka Bear. And so
Faka.
So I'm talking to Faka Bear about how to put together like an intro to the show, and I want to use a bunch of audio clips, like famous moments in sports history, like ridiculous moments.
We will see you tomorrow night.
That sort of stuff. And so I have to go find all the audio clips. So it's the middle of the day. My dad and my Uncle Craig are napping on my porch. And I start watching these. And there's a video that's set to theatrical Disney music. And I like sports. I think we both like sports. But having worked in sports, I don't care about sports like I used to. There's so much more in life that I give a million times more shits about than sports. So I wasn't prepared for this, but I start watching these like iconic, like, and it's a home run and the Blue Jays have won the World Series. And underneath it is this like, this like really music. And it goes, do you believe in miracles? And I'm two clips in and all of a sudden I'm like, why is my shirt wet? I am crying so hard that I have to sit down and I don't know what happened. The video stopped and I couldn't stop. I'm just in here. I started watching other videos. I'm like, why am I still crying? I walked out on the patio, just like wiping tears out of my face. I think they thought Kevin died. Like there was no way.
Are you talking about
Free from
Kevin's not dead?
So yeah, I turned into a puddle of goo. And then here's the crazy thing. After it all ended, I'd calmed back down later that evening. I was like, you know what? That was such a nice release. I watched another one. And so now I think my shit is just watching epic moments set to music on YouTube and crying. I'm not going to run from it. Chad, I'm going to run to it, I've decided.
Yeah, you should just fast forward to the end of Field of Dreams and then get rid of all your tears.
I've seen that a minute. It's different. It's different when you watch these videos. Take the sports out of it. In every single one of these videos, you hear 50 to 100,000 people, depending on if it's baseball, football, soccer, whatever.
Sure.
You hear 50 to 100,000 people together experience like the height of joy, and just the noise from the crowd set to these announcers who are so good at doing what they do. This is my new thing. I just fucking hop on YouTube, let it rip, let it cry. There's a lot of weird shit. If you want to cry on YouTube, there's a lot of weird shit there that can get you. But this is my current one, and I've decided I'm going to lean into it. I'm going to let it happen.
I picture you watching a video screen that your uncle and dad can't see, and they walk in and just hear Disney music, and you're crying, and they're like, what's happening in here? And you just, in a Batman voice, go, my sex toy's broken.
Hey, speaking of things that I thought were great, and speaking of our friend Brooks, let me roll all this in together. So I saw your episode of the Funniest Person Contest.
Okay.
So for context sake, the club we are from, Acme Comedy Club, our home club, Yep. Has this contest every year called the funniest person in the Twin Cities. And in order to do it, you can never have done professional stand-up comedy before. You can never have received a paycheck for comedy. And it is a place that a lot of us, a lot of people you've heard on this show, Tim Harmston won it. Mary Mack did the contest. You know, Brian Miller, Nate Abshire, on and on and on and on. A lot of us came up doing that contest. I got
Greg Coleman.
Greg Coleman, yep. I got fucking humiliated in it twice in a row. I got humiliated by Ben Sandell in the first round, a friend of ours, but I still got through on my score. And then I got re-humiliated by him in the second round, and then he won. So, but I saw your episode. It's really good. And then our friend, I was talking to our friend Brooks, because Brian Miller hosts it, the person who hosts this show. And he was telling me how great Brooks's was, and I can't wait to see Brooks's. But I'm all over the map today. Before I ask you about your funniest person thing, because I had some questions.
Yeah.
So Brooks, our friend Brooks Robinson, who's one of the funniest people to have walketh this earth. Mm-hmm.
I beat him in a contest.
Allegedly. I mean, there's
a
lot of questions about how those votes were tallied.
Nobody has any questions.
I have so many questions. Brooks got into recently playing pinball, and then he got really good at it, and then he qualified for the state tournament, and then he did well in the state tournament. I watched the live stream. And so here's my question for you. Can we as a podcast become the official sponsor of a semi-pro pinball player? Can we pay his tournament entry fees? Spoiler alert, it's not very much money. Can we pay his tournament entry fees and have an official middle of somewhere pinball team?
Yeah, and can I answer this the only way I know how? And it is this, that a semi-professional pinball player is really the only thing this podcast could sponsor.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm all in on it. We'll give updates. I want nothing more than that. But you did the contest in Minneapolis. And then
I did.
You worked with both. I didn't know this. It was fun for me because there were a couple things in there that I didn't know. I didn't realize your first, because is Acme the first place you did stand up? The contest is, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's similar for me. I had done a few sets, but then I did the contest and they were all at Acme.
Well, the contest is the first time I performed at Acme.
Okay. And it was, and the headliner was Hedberg.
Yep.
And then you went up to Fargo for your first
Grand Forks
time up there at the Westward Ho, and it was Hedberg again.
Yeah, so the first time at the contest, we didn't even speak. Hedberg and I didn't speak. I just know that I came out of the green room, and it was back when the bar was different. It was a horseshoe bar. So if you took a left out of the little atrium where the green room is, you would run right into the bar. Now you'll walk adjacent to it. But you would run right into the bar. And there was this guy sitting there in like white bell-bottom pants and shiny boots and a button-up shirt that wasn't buttoned up all the way with long hair. And I'm like, who is this motherfucker? And then he got on stage and we were all crying. So the next day we were hungover, went to Denny's on the U of M campus, and we were just doing his bits. Couldn't remember his name, but we were just doing all his bits that absolutely killed us. And then, you know, then you'd hear him. I went with a buddy of mine, Regan. We worked at Stubb and Herb's on the U of M campus.
Sure.
And anytime we'd hear somebody say, like, I used to do drugs, we'd both chime in with, I still do, but I used to too. Like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But we still didn't know who the guy was.
Interesting.
And then when I went to Grand Forks, he was the first. And then I kind of knew who he was through all of the hype. And he went to Grand Forks and it was my audition week. So I got to audition with Mitch Hedberg, and something kind of cool. The blue sunglasses that he was known for later in his career, he picked up at a truck stop on the way from Minneapolis to Grand Forks that week.
Oh, man.
So this was really like his origin story of becoming, you know, the Mitch Hedberg that everybody knows.
Yes, that's so great.
Yeah, I got to just sit back and watch a legend become a legend. It was pretty neat. And then in my 6 months I was there, he came back. I worked with him two more times in that 6 months because people just obviously loved him, you know.
I used to love hosting that contest so much because once you finally get hired at Acme, so it runs in the summertime. It's starting pretty soon. And so when you're the host, they would do shows Tuesday through Saturday, and they wouldn't do it on the Friday early and Saturday early shows, but they would do it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and on the late shows. And if you were performing, like if you perform, you get 20 free tickets. So the shows are always usually filled with these people who are trying comedy for the first time. And yeah. So then the crowd is really divided because they want to root for their person and not. And I just, the beauty of people trying for the first time, and it might be the greatest thing ever, and it might be the craziest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would, every once in a while, I would sneak into the contest when I was a paid person at Acme. Our friend David Huntsberger was, he was headlining a week, and I was just sitting in the green room with him before the show doing a character who kept just talking about the weather, but never finishing his thoughts about the weather. And he convinced me to go up on stage and do that as the final contestant. And it was one of these nights where normally if you get one good contestant, it's a good night.
Right.
This is one of these nights where there were three contestants and they were all really good. And then they introduced me with whatever dumbass name I came up with. And I walk out and I've committed to doing this thing where I'm going to half talk about the weather for an entire set. And I have not experienced silence like that many times, not just in my career, in my adult life, with the exception of David Huntsberger cackling in the back like he's the Joker, to keep the theme going here. It was, the contest was so fucking fun to host and to be in.
I'm just glad that this happened before your sex toy, because if somebody cackles like the Joker around you now, I would assume it's like
Pavlovian Bomer.
Yeah.
Matt Bomer. Oh, Matt Bomer is such an attractive man. The point is, yes, Pavlovian Boner.
Uh-huh. Wow. Good
guys,
one.
Guys, why don't we not end the show on that? Why don't I tell people, hey, if you're in Minneapolis, dude, go do that contest. Holy shit. That's the most fun. It's starting pretty soon, right? And it's got to be starting here in June.
I think so. It normally starts in the
summer. You got to see that podcast. I can't wait for Brooke's episode. But if you're somebody who likes comedy origin stories and stuff like that, Acme on their YouTube page, they did a really great job. You could see Chatty Daddy's episode. And then a lot of our guests are on there. You can see their episodes. And then, dude, sign up for the contest if you live in Minneapolis. It's the most fun.
Or drive to it. Like, you can't have been paid to do stand-up. Those are the only rules. You could either have never done some open mics, Maynard. So make the drive and do the thing. And if you get invited back, you have to come back. But that's kind of a fun part, too.
That's so much fun. I don't know if there has been a less coherent episode of this show, but we got through it, man.
Yeah, and you know,
Bailey, who used to work at Acme, just said, tell people not to run the red light. That's the only thing that's important about the contest. You could have the set of your life, and if you go 3 seconds over, you're out.
You're disqualified. Yeah. So you have to really hustle it up, that's for sure. But I know that this, like you said, this episode has been a little all over the place and whatever. I got some good laughs from it, poking the bear. And I just wanted to remind the listeners that I'm Batman.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.